Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to recording artist and rapper Robust from the mighty Galapagos 4 camp. My favorite part of his interview was reviewing one of my favorite songs that he's written called Do It For The Love. Thanks for tuning in. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome, for the first time on the podcast, rapper, producer, songwriter, Robust. What's up, player?
What's up, dude?
Oh, my God. It's been a minute. Our second G4 artist on here. Shout out to Mestizo. We got to give shout outs. Shout out to Mestizo.
Shout out to Mestizo.
Oh, let's go down the roster. Quell. Off-White.
Quell, Off-White.
Dennis and Kane.
Are we going to name all of them?
I kind of want to, just a few, just a few.
Go. No, we're going to go all the way. Yeah, Dennis and Kane. We got
Quasar.
Anacron, Quasar.
I forgot about Anacron.
MERS did an album on Galapagos 4.
Oh, he did. Shout out to MERS.
It was called The Netherworlds himself. That's okay. Another guy that was on the
Who
label.
Was the crew with one white guy and two black guys? Was there a crew like that?
One white guy, two black guys. I don't know.
Okay. Oh, Mediogre.
There's Mediogre.
Mediogre, Maker.
Maker.
Okay. Quasar. We got to include Quasar.
We said Quasar.
Okay. Dennis. Okay.
We can't forget Hellsent. That's Quasar's cousin, Jimmy.
Okay, Hellsent.
Jimmy's probably the most solid guy in the whole crew.
Yeah.
Probably one of the coolest guys you ever meet.
I heard about you guys. I was living in Arizona. Fucking JJ, a.k.a. Mestizo, was like, oh, have you heard this? This is when the internet was barely starting off.
Like Sandbox.
Yeah, well, he heard Squints on some website, and he goes, hey, this cat's Filipino.
Asian hip-hop
website. Yeah, and so JJ had brought first, I think, Quell, and then Off-White, and then I got introduced to y'all, and then I started peeping you guys' albums, and I'm like, dude, these guys, go ahead, expand more on that as far as the label and who you guys are.
Well, I don't know. Expand on what? Like,
the label, how you got involved with, like, who started, like, didn't Jeff start it?
Jeff did. Okay, so that's,
Yeah.
I wasn't there when he started it. That's why I was kind of asking, mm-hmm. Did you want to know where it started or where I started? But,
yeah.
So Jeff, he was like living in Seattle at a college, I think. He got into underground hip hop in Chicago, met Off-White, or I think they met in grade school, actually.
Yeah,
I think
he
used to defend Off-White in grade school.
Shout out to
Weezy. Playground battles.
Shout out to Weezy.
No, shout out to Jeff for holding it down, you know. But shout out to Weezy too, Off-White, you know. Mm-hmm. Ryan Fernandez.
Yeah.
So I guess he got like a temp job, you know, was just looking for a job in Seattle.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the whole story, but the temp job was a little company that sold books called Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what's up.
And then this was like 96, 97.
Yeah.
And I guess Amazon popped off and all him and his friends, people were buying houses. He started a record label.
And y'all put out some good music.
And we did. We went around the world a few times.
Yeah. Well, wait. Let's go. Let's hold you. Your first album, Potholes.
That was a little bit later. They were doing stuff already.
No, but that was your first release, wasn't it?
Yeah. So
Potholes in Our Molecule. Potholes in Our Molecule.
So I'll let you in on a little secret.
Yeah. Okay? Go ahead.
Because there was things going on in Chicago, you know, before.
Give them
some
a
other
shout
guys.
Because Chicago.
Chicago hip hop.
Yeah.
I give you a shout out. The 90s, early 2000s era, one of the greatest hip hop eras, hands down.
And then people were
not just Galapagos. It was
comments from there.
We got to give a shout out to the Moment. Those are the guys that put me on.
So describe to the
I was
write
with,
down Moment. That's a talking point. Describe, because these people, they think that they might think they're super, like,
No. So the moment was back in, you know how everybody produces now? Back in the day, everybody rapped.
Right.
Still everybody raps, but now everybody's a producer.
Yeah.
Back then, there was only like, I don't know, like four producers. The first producer I met, I was like, oh, you got to be my producer. And
yeah,
it was
Panic
from the moment. He worked at the record store.
Uh-huh.
I was like 15. I'd give him tapes of me rapping in my basement, recording on turntables, instrumentals, all that shit.
What year was this?
This was probably like in 96, 97. I was a kid.
Yeah,
I would get kicked out of school, and my school was right next to the train, took me right down to the record store.
Yeah.
And that was the hangout, and that's where I met a guy, Andre Vasquez. His name was Optimus Prime at the time.
Oh, but, right. Producer?
No, he was a rapper, but he put out little tapes.
And that was his name, Optimus Prime?
Yeah, and then he went as Prime, and then he became the alderman of my district that I live in. And the funniest part was we were called the Scam Artists. I came up with the name.
That's like more of a graffiti crew name.
We were the Scam Artists, and then and it was me, Quell, the alderman.
So this guy, Quell, was a writer before he even wrote rap?
This wasn't graffiti. This was
just rapping. Right.
But Quell was doing graffiti before I knew him.
Right.
But no, this was just a rap crew that, like, it was like an all-star crew Prime was putting together.
Mm-hmm.
He was getting buzz. He was selling tapes, like, you know, thousands of tapes out at the record store. Sorry for bumping.
No, you're good. You're good.
But he put this little crew together, and then the first time, like, I'd met him a bunch of times, and he was looking at me like, who's this little kid? I was a little kid, man. I was, like, probably, like, 80 pounds. 85
yeah,
pounds.
Like when I first met you, you're a lot skinnier. And then you introduced me. You didn't even say Brian. You're like,
Poppy Benny.
You said, hey, you like dap me up. You said, yo, I'm robust.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, okay. Because JJ.
Oh, we got out the van. I remember we were at Venice Beach.
Yeah, you gave us
You gave us shrooms. That's the first time I met you.
but this is back in the day. But I flew out to Chicago.
Timestamp.
I flew out to Chicago. And I went out there with Kip Killigan.
Oh, I met you that time.
Yeah, dude, I went out with Kip Killigan,
bro,
the homie Morph.
But see, when I'm in Chicago mode, I don't know nobody. Like, if I don't know you, you're
dude,
just like,
I
look
through
you.
I went to your show, and I thought, I'm like, oh, these guys have their own venue. And you opened you were the opening act, and I remember. Oh,
from the Hot House.
I don't know what the name of the
It
venue.
Was the upstairs, the
yeah,
train
was
going by.
Yeah, it was like a jazz
by.
Kind
yeah.
of venue.
That place got shut down because... Then next week they had a Cuban jazz band play, and they were like pro-communist or socialist or whatever, something like that. And then they shut the city of Chicago shut the
so
whole
you remember
place
that show
down.
Though?
Now it's Buddy. It's called Buddy Guys. It used to be called the Hot House. We had a monthly there. It was called Endangered Species.
Meaty was on the drums and shit.
One time we did Icy Hot Stunners performance. Me, Meaty, his roommate. Artwise ended up being my roommate.
Yo,
Dave.
Shout out to Mediogre.
Mediogre.
Slept
man.
On producer. We love your beats, Meaty. Keep doing
slept
your
on,
thing.
No, you know, he's a well-known fucking great producer.
Great producer.
Slept on comedian.
Yeah.
The guy's one
Yo,
of the funniest
I know.
Guys
love
I ever
Meaty.
Met in my life. He brought me out of multiple depressions just talking to him.
Yeah.
Like, the guy just...
But he was on that sampling shit and the vinyl back then, too. I remember, like, going... I don't
oh,
know where
he
y'all lived.
But he used to, like... When I used to see people chopping up drums, you know, and chopping their samples.
Yeah.
And I grew up with the Moment. They were just doing it on the MPC, so you didn't know what was going on in there.
Right.
But when I first saw it on, like, a program, you know, like Acid 1.0.
He was on Logic or Acid back then.
He was on Acid 1.0.
Yeah.
And but my friends that I knew, they had, like, maybe, like, piano, bass, drums, you know, like, four things. You look at Meaty, he had like 200 just for the drums.
Yeah.
Just like chopped up into tiny
Oh, you mean
pieces.
Like different snares?
Oh,
and
just
kicks.
Everything just going on. Like,
yeah.
But like 200 different tracks just for that. And then the samples, man.
Yeah.
Like, when I saw that, I go, I have no business doing production.
But he was on that shit. Like, yeah. Like, you know what? All right, Meaty. We gave you some love.
You're
right
good.
There. Yeah, you're
Maker's
good.
Maker's pretty good too. But
Maker's dope too.
Everybody's good, man.
Yeah.
We had a good thing going. We had a solid squad.
Solid squad.
It was like the NBA, like the Bulls 95.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, how do y'all recruit?
But we weren't winning any championships.
Nah, but y'all were hometown. Y'all were the hometown.
We won those championships. Yeah. We had, man. Like, it was weird because shit popped off. I remember. So how I got started.
Yeah.
I was in that crew with Quell and the Alderman, guy who became the Alderman. And mind you, that guy, when he went to go get elected, the guy he was going against sent postcards to all the constituents with his rap lyrics saying like crazy shit.
Oh, like against them?
Well, no, like his rap lyrics from back in the day.
Oh,
like saying misogynistic stuff. Like,
why did he do
would
that?
Would you want to vote? Well, he was like 16 doing rap tapes.
Right, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that was just promotion.
It was in like the Blaze battle. It was
HBO
and shit. I don't know. But yeah, it was fucked up. But so Quell was in that crew. And then Quell said he quit rapping. He told me he quit rapping. I'm going to go to the army.
Yeah, all this shit.
His brother Mikey went to the army, and he was about to go. They both like enlisted. And I was like, man, I don't think you should do that, bro.
Quell's my favorite.
You're pretty good.
Yeah, Quell's my I love Quell shit.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, you Quell, know what?
Yeah, Quell's tight, dude. Like, shout out so to Quell. Bad. No.
Quell's amazing.
Yeah, Quell's amazing.
But you know what's funny about Quell? I loved Quell when we were doing our shit. And man, like, I still love Quell.
Yeah.
I don't mean like that. I'm talking about listening to his music, though. Back in the day, you had to really sit there and listen to it. And
he's philosophical, yeah.
But he's talking. But then I would play it for like my fucking the street homies. And I'd be like, yo, y'all got to check this. And they'd be like, the fuck are you making me listen to right now? No, they're just like, this shit sucks, man.
Well, they were doing the hell of a time, baby.
Well, they just, you know, it was just abrasive to the ear. And that's cool when you want to hear. It's like listening to punk rock or like death metal.
That's a good analogy. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
And he was like that. We'd be in Germany, and he would just throw beer bottles against the fucking wall. We'd get kicked out of the venue.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't give a shit.
So he's one of those prodigy, like y'all were.
But
like
me and him were really tight though. So we used to go meet down at the Wrigley Building in Chicago. You could walk in, you could go down, and they had a little thing. We'd all meet up. Black Verbal. We had Pugsley Prime.
Oh, Pugsley Adams.
Pugsley Adams and Acrobats.
Necrobats, that's another crew, right?
Necrobats, so Scam Artist was an offshoot of Necrobats.
Okay, these are like, we're talking about the Warriors. Like, different cliques.
I mean, this is what was going on, though. Okay. This is what was going on.
Yeah. So they're known in the street, like, those are the Necrobats. This is this crew.
Well, and everybody in Scam Artist was in Necrobats. Except me. I never got put into Necrobats.
Was there initiation type shit?
No. Okay. It wasn't like that. They never asked me. And then the Mole Men, they told me, they're like, you don't want to be in Necrobats anyway.
You're kind of scientific too, right?
Yeah, they were like nerdy dudes. They were cool. But so that's how I got Prime was like, you know what? You should. He goes, you're kind of a weirdo. I was doing joke songs at the time. I was a kid. I was like doing songs about being homeless because my mom kicked me out, sleeping in the backyard wiping my ass with like the garbage in the front yard and shit.
Well,
like whatever.
The shit your own,
but I was like a little, and it was stupid, but it was like trying to make comedy of it. And that was my first rap song. It was over a panic beat from the moment. He gave me my first instrumental.
Right.
Because I was bugging him for years. And I finally gave him a tape, and he was like, oh, he's like, I'll work with you. And he was charging people for beats back
like
then. I saw people come. No, people were coming over giving him $1,000 a beat.
Oh, for a beat?
And he was like, drive me to the grocery store and you're good. He was just trying to teach me, you know.
Right.
He'd go to the bathroom. I'd be scared, but I wanted to like touch the MPC because I'd never seen an MPC before.
But you know how to use it now, don't you?
Yeah.
I
learned that from, shout out to another Chicago. You ever heard of the group Rubber Room?
Yeah, I have. Well, they put out vinyl, too.
They're one of their producers.
They're from Chicago?
Yeah.
Holy smokes, Chicago. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yep. And their producers, they had two producers. One of them, Kevin, I saw he had the same MPC that I bought. Like, I bought it for $100 off somebody, and I didn't know how to use it, but I wanted it.
Yeah.
And I ended up seeing him And I go, hey, man, I'll give you records. Teach me how to use this.
So you had
and
to
he came
it.
Over because I didn't have a there was no manual. And he goes, man, I just saved you 10 years of making shitty beats. And
so what was the first thing that
shout out to Kevin from Rubber Room.
Yeah. That's what's up. What was the first
Mr. thing that, Echoes?
What was the first thing you remember him teaching you? Like how to like. You could loop on a button. You could loop something.
Well, I knew how to sample on it and
like
stuff.
Something like with this. This.
But
is
what
like...
I wanted to do was I wanted to make my drums swing. I go, how do I make it go like this?
So this is basically goes, like. Look how
I used to have this. I love this thing.
Yeah, yeah. So
you could put batteries in it.
Yeah, you could put batteries in it. But this is kind of your like, the beginner's sampling.
Not even, man.
But you can make jams on
Madlib this. Madlib makes beats on shit like this. You can... you can plug a mic in here.
Yeah.
And you can, I used to bring this on tour.
With this machine?
To Europe, yeah.
So this is.
I used to bring that on tour to Europe mm-hmm. and then I'd power it with batteries because they're electric.
And then you
their
could,
electricity is not the same.
That's
so
what's
you
up.
Couldn't plug it in.
And then they had the effects that are a little different than the 303.
No, I would plug one mic into here.
Oh,
and
right here.
Plug that into the mixing board.
Right.
So I'd have a regular mic and then I'd have a.
Oh.
I'd do like alien voices.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck I want.
On just this thing?
On that, just live.
So this is kind of like...
you can put it on the BPMs that you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That.
That's why you can't do that on that.
And then like, I sold it when, my grandma died.
Yeah, this is money more. I have to give this back to him, but I made some... I still use this shit.
Man.
The 303 mostly, though.
Let me buy it.
No, I'm not getting rid of it. I'm not getting rid of this stuff. That 303, this is like... people don't realize, like, because,
you should just be recording. You should be using that on the podcast, bro. You can
this,
have one mic with just
this.
Like
this is the one.
You can do echoes and shit.
Oh my god, this is
oh
the
that
one.
Yeah, I brought this too one time. I like this one.
This one.
Yeah.
Both so you've used all the bosses.
But I just use them for the filters and the fun
yeah,
shit.
Yeah. But this is the one me and JJ used.
I never sequenced
have you
on
seen
those.
This one?
I had this back in the day, bro.
So you
this
remember that? Yeah.
The Roland joint.
Yeah, yeah. Me and JJ used that to do our demos in AZ. Yeah, and then you could put batteries in this bad boy, too.
I had the older one. Mine didn't have a memory card. It just had, the internal drive.
Well, the thing with these samplers is, like, one bank will break, and I'll be like, I'll just put it on B. I'll go to C, and then until these are all dusted, then I'll be like, all right, D's the only one I could use.
So, but I use the MPC 60.
So what's the difference between something like this opposed to the MPC 60, like these samplers?
The 60 came out in 1987.
Okay.
And
that's the one.
And when you turn it on, it says MPC 1987.
Right.
And I got the original, like,
the 60
software.
Right.
Because you can update the software. And he told me I could do all this shit, but I still use just the floppy disk and whatever it comes with.
Mm-hmm.
And you plug out from reality and you make a beat.
Yeah. And then how much sampling time do you have on those buttons?
I get, for the whole machine, I get 23 seconds. And then
there's a certain sound quality to that dusty. Right?
And then you get 23 seconds, but then the floppy disks. If you do the whole 23 seconds, you got to use two floppy disks.
Right,
and say it's a pain. I've lost so many beats
just
because they're like the disc will damage, and then they're like.
I told you we're gonna nerd out on some music shit.
Anyway, so how I got on Galapagos?
Yeah. I'm sorry, dude.
It's all good.
Because no, I
love
geek
it.
Out. Yeah, I geek out on
it's
a lot
beautiful.
Of this stuff.
It's
yeah.
Beautiful.
So
I met me and Quell were in the group, and then I told he was going to the army. I told him not to, and then he came back one day. He was like, "Yo, I did this album with these guys." And I'd never heard of the other two dudes, Quasar and Denison.
How did they link up?
But actually, I met Quasar at some rap battle, Lyricist Lounge.
Oh, that was like in the 90s.
In Milwaukee. And it was the day after Thanksgiving. And I got booed off stage. It was all gangsters in the crowd. Like, straight up.
Oh, you were participating?
I got in the battle, yeah.
Oh.
No, I got in the open mic, I think. I don't know if I was in the battle. Quasar was in the battle, and he... just trashed everybody. He's like, you came here wearing your church clothes, because dudes were like, just came off of Thanksgiving dinner dressed up and shit.
So he stood out there.
He was killing it. And then, but I didn't see him for years after that. He was in the group Outer Limits with Jimmy.
Yeah, that was the group I was
and his
about.
Brother.
Outer Limits is the
That's
one.
That's Jimmy,
yeah.
Outer
yeah,
Limits.
Yeah. That's the group.
Shout out to Silence, the
Silence,
producer.
Yeah,
come on.
That's the group I couldn't think of, yeah. So you linked up with
and
him.
So, but I didn't link up with him. I just met him that night. Oh, and then I ran into him years
ago. So you saw him at Lyricist Lounge, and then later you're like, oh, I remember
We were on the same label. But so Quasar was on the Typical Cats with Quell. And
dude, shout out
and that
to
shit
typical
was fire.
Cats. Yo,
I was like,
that
oh,
first
okay.
Typical Cats
I was like,
album.
Oh, okay.
Reinventing the wheel,
but he
all
was
that
like,
shit.
But he, Quell was like, eh, I did this little tape. It ain't nothing, da, da, da.
So they linked up like just on some
and,
homie
and
shit?
It was on Galapagos.
Yeah.
And I'd heard about them, but I was more into the Mo Man. Like, I was hanging out with all the graffiti writers.
Yeah,
like, they were
that.
Like, they didn't. They had graffiti writers in their crew, but it was like a different, two different scenes.
Yeah.
Kinda. And Prime, the Alderman, he was the one who kind of told me, even before that, Typical Cats was like, you should go talk to the Galapagos dudes. And I didn't take any mind to it.
So who's
and then I saw Quell do that, and I was like, that's dope. Then he did an album. And
the Pawn Shop one?
The Pawn Shop.
Yeah, the Pawn Shop album.
And he was living with his folks in Uptown, and I was over there all the time smoking weed with him and his dad. His dad and my dad worked at the same submarine manufacturing plant.
That's a trip.
In Connecticut.
That's a trip.
He was born in Connecticut,
too. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were both born in Connecticut.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, shout out to Connecticut, baby.
Shout out to Connecticut. Peace,
East Coast,
Connecticut.
Baby. Yeah.
New Haven. What's up? Best pizza in the whole fucking world. Hands down.
Let's give him a shout out. What's the spot called?
Man, there's a lot. There's a Parties. There's Frank Pepe's, the original.
Hey, write
there's
that
Sally's.
Down. Write that down.
Everybody
wait,
knows.
Wait. Slow it down. What's get the second one called?
What?
The pizza joint.
Frank
pizza
Pepe's.
Joint. Frank Pepe's, baby.
Yep.
Yeah.
Recipes, Barry Bamone.
All right, let's get to the point where, okay, so you link up with
I thought
them.
You were drinking a Guinness.
No, this is a Rockstar energy drink. When did you get put on the label to record your first album?
So I did the. I went to the studio with Quell to record for his album because we were in the crew. He was trying to put me on.
Wait, in Typical?
No, into like onto the label.
Onto the label,
yeah.
So who was on that? Who was on officially on the label?
Because
this is the conception. Like this is the beginning of the shit.
Well, yeah. So like he was early on in there. There was a guy named Surf 400. They were doing DJ White Lightning. He started the label
with
Jeff.
Right.
Like, it wasn't just Jeff. It was DJ White Lightning, Jeff, I think, Off-White, and maybe one other person. I don't know.
Right.
But so I went to the studio with Quell to do my verse. We were spitting the bars toward his parents and shit. And we get to the studio, and they take him to the side. They're like, yeah. We don't want your guy on the album.
You?
Because I was doing joke songs. And so they only knew me for the joke songs. And it was like some serious.
Yeah. But they didn't give you a chance to show.
Well, they were like, da, 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 da. And Quell came back. He goes, man, I told those motherfuckers, if you ain't on the album, I ain't on the album.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And so I went in and I did my, I did what I did. I think I did two songs that day. Maybe we did one. I don't know if we split it up, but, then the next time I saw Jeff wasn't there when I recorded.
Yeah.
But the guy, DJ White Lightning, his eyes lit up a little bit. And then Jeff came and approached me at a show and he was like, yo, you want to do an album? And that's before Mestizo, I don't think had ever been. This was like 2000.
So you dropped
2001.
When did he drop Life Like Movie? After you dropped yours, right?
It was we were working on it at the same time.
So, because I remember that you guys both had albums.
I was working on mine. I think before, but the main studio got shut down for like 9 months halfway through my first album.
You had a lot of songs on that first album.
So we were doing, we were recording in 2001, 2002.
Yeah.
So that's what I was getting the buzz in the city. I didn't even have an album out, but everybody was like, oh shit,
he's about to drop.
He's doing this. He's,
yeah.
And I was like, and everybody was trying to latch on. And I hung out with, TFD. Shout out to TFD, old school.
Yeah.
Chapter 6. Everybody knows. So I was hanging out with those guys and then
well, who's producing all the beats for that?
For Potholes?
Yeah, for
Potholes. It was a mix. It was Prolific, who's on Sage Francis's label.
Yeah.
Who fucking hates me. And
we don't have to get into all that. Yeah.
But it's fucking hilarious though.
Well, you want to tell the story?
No.
Okay, that's fine.
No, but me and Prolific got an album together. People like it,
Yeah.
It was cool. Prolific, man, we had some good times together.
Yeah, for
people
sure.
Move on in their lives. No big deal.
So how many joints do you have on that first Potholes?
Potholes, we had, I don't don't know, man. I put a bunch of instrumentals in there. Yeah. I put secret songs in the secret song.
Yeah, you had like 20 songs. Because
I'd never
tracks,
done an album. I had, and they said that nobody told me what to do. So I was like, I'll
how'd you come up with the concept? Like, pothole, like, how'd you come up with that concept?
Potholes in it. Because I was just riding through potholes in my bike, riding to work every day.
Oh, that's where you got the concept.
I was riding like an hour to work.
Yeah.
Like in the snow.
Damn,
and
so
there's potholes.
Yeah.
And people
okay.
are like starting fight. And that's when nobody rode bikes. I feel like back in the day when I rode.
It's about bike riding. That's what you got.
It's not
that,
about bike riding. But, it's just about, I mean, you got car. I have had cars too.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you never had a car. You think I only own bikes over here? Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah. So that's interesting though. I didn't know that was like,
but it was kind of like it seeing like a building crumble, you know, like how it looked, you know, how a brand new building, it kind of looks like shit. It's
yeah.
Like, in California, I knew that because I was on the East Coast as a little kid. And then I saw California.
Yeah.
San Francisco was kind of older.
But that's a cool concept,
but
man.
Shit's
for
brand
album.
New. But like shit that's crumbling, it has like little moss growing
on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, people want to be like, oh, we got to clean the yard. But nah, just let the weeds grow.
Right, right. So, like, what was the reception? Because that was a big feat. I mean, the writing process must have been a lot for your, I mean, that was That was a full length album.
Yeah, I was thinking too hard about it. Plus, I had a lot of time because the studio shut down.
So you're writing at home, just writing in the bedroom, just trying to stack up your
trying to find a place to live.
Oh,
but hopefully I have a bedroom.
So you were just
I was moving
from couch to couch.
I was sleeping in like my ex girl at the time. Her dad didn't want her to be near me, so he sent her to like some college way up on the North Shore of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fucking taking the train out there, riding my bike in the snow, like an hour and a half, sleeping in the dorm, making everybody uncomfortable.
So you're struggling, like.
But also I had places too, like, you know, I had my good times, but at the end of the day, I didn't want to be tied down to anything. So
right.
I just couldn't, like, I'm not like, I'm going to sign up for a 2 year.
Yeah,
lease.
Yeah.
No, I'm like, you know what? I'll give you some cash. Let me sleep in your laundry room.
Yeah, man. I'm just because I remember listening
joking.
To your. Me and my friend Danny Kim were listening to your first album. Because
you're taking me so serious.
No. I'm just saying, like, dude, it's this.
You're like, no, it's okay,
I remember
bro.
You skinnier, and I'm like, I saw you on the street,
I'm
and I'm like, oh, he's buff now. Because
I'm
just saying, I'm like, dude. I mean, you
I'm
look
a man.
Different. Yeah, you're a man.
You know how I do this? I do 10 push-ups a year, and I swim every day, even when it's cold out.
Yeah.
I try to swim.
Can I give you a memory? The second memory I have
like
of
walrus.
You was, I don't know if Quell was performing. Yo had shows at the Knitting Factory up the street.
Yeah, the Knitting
Factory. Yeah.
So I was at this liquor store buying this beer right now. This dude, Dante, I saw him off. He goes, I was like, where's the liquor store? He goes, you don't want to know. And I'm like, I'm already late.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll walk you there. And he walked me there. He didn't want nothing. And we get to the spot, and it's this little, like, strip mall.
Yeah.
And I go, man, I've been here before. Like, it hit me deja vu.
Yeah,
right
you were there,
dude.
There
was a record store in
that little strip
mall.
Yeah.
And we sold records in that
strip mall.
Yeah,
yeah,
and it was
yeah.
across the street from, like, the Knitting Factory.
Yeah, yeah. But that's when I met you, and I remember that I was working a VHS. I had a library.
Shout out to Knitting Factory.
Yeah, dude.
Where you at? Where yeah,
they went out of business.
No, they're still in New
York.
But
the one there is they turn it into a shoe store right by the CVS. But that's when I met you and you're cool to me. You're like, hey, let's go to this room. And then I'm like, oh, fuck, I got to go for my shift. And I remember I had to miss half the show. I used to see a gang of shows.
Where were
up
you
there.
Working?
Right off the boulevard. I was a VHS. Like, I had to digitize, like, these VHS types to, like, fucking from analog to fucking.
You're helping the old guys out. Like, I want to get my old porn.
Yeah, but I
wanted
to hang out with you guys because you guys were doing shows and like you guys had a gig up there, and I'm like, fuck, I gotta go.
I feel like you stress out about like you're like, I mean, I stressed out about trying to get here.
Yeah.
But like, also, I'm like, I don't give a fuck. You know, like I saw Hollywood High, and I was like, what would Cadillac Ron do? He'd show up like,
hey, rest in peace, Caddy Ron, dude.
That's what I thought. I just walked past Hollywood High earlier today, and I thought, what would Cadillac Ron do?
Yeah, what was your first memory of Caddy, like, rest in peace? Like,
well, we met doing a show together, and I think it was in Yuma, Arizona.
Yeah.
And he started performing a song during his set. Like, his set was cool. JJ was telling me about him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I saw him battle, and I saw him battle. He was hilarious.
Yeah.
And so his beat comes on, and I go, shit, I'm about to perform with the same fucking beat.
Oh,
but it wasn't the same beat, but it was the same sample, and it was done exactly the same way. It was on an SP.
Oh,
no. It
was
his boys. Yeah, the Dead Bent dudes that he did. I forget what the name of the album was, but it was Blunt Boogie Records, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, yeah, that was his label, yeah. Yeah,
and he performed that, and then he gets off stage. I was like, man, that was tight. I was like, I'm about to perform on the same beat. And he goes, go ahead. And then by the second show, we were performing the song together.
Holy smokes.
On both, on both sets.
That's it, dude. That's it. Was this in here?
We did like Yuma, San Diego, I think LA. We did Fresno.
Yeah, Vegas. I mean, I got introduced to him.
You know who was driving? Mestizo was driving for the South, and then Open Mike Eagle took his car, and Cadillac Ron was in the back eating all his Trader Joe snacks, and Open Mike Eagle was getting so angry.
Dude, he blew up. He's well known now. Yeah.
He's from Chicago too.
You're right.
He's in Necrobats.
He's from Necrobats?
He's in Necrobats. He is Necrobats.
Shout out to Open Mike Eagle.
Shout out to Open Mike Eagle.
Swim team. Man. All them. Yeah.
I love Mike, man.
Yeah.
So also, we had a day off. We were supposed to do a show. It got canceled or JJ canceled it. I don't remember.
Yeah.
And we had a day off, and I had nowhere. I was the only guy not from California.
Yeah.
And I didn't have nowhere to go. And I rode back with Open Mike, and we were at his house. He lived, I think, in Englewood at the time. And he's like, hey, dog, you know. He didn't even have to finish. You know, he's like, hey, dog, you know. And you know when somebody gives you that shoulder move, like, you got to get moving out of their crib.
Yeah, real quick.
And I'm like, all right, man. I thought we were getting a hotel tonight, like, on tour. At least can we, you know. But so anyway, fucking, I hit up Cadillac. And we had just performed the song maybe one time together. Mm-hmm. But I kind of knew this guy. He was like, yeah, I'll be there in 20 minutes. Boom, pulls up, takes me around town. We go to a Cannabis show. We watched Cannabis fall on his face right in front of us. Yeah. We were sitting on a couch. And they announced Cannabis to run on stage. Swear to God. I think Shapeshifters were there too. And I was just in Cadillac's car. He was like on a date with some girl or something. Yeah. But I was just like, I'm along for the ride. He said I could crash at his house as long as I stick with him. He's a solid dude.
He's a solid dude.
Straight shooter.
Yeah, straight shooter.
Straight shooter. Mm-hmm. And I think he like got in a super huge argument with his girl right in front of me as soon as he picked me up. His baby mama, not his girl, one of somebody's. And he gets back in the car and he's like, sorry about that, man. And I'm like, I was like, dude, I don't give a shit about your life, bro. I was like, I'm arguing with my girlfriend right now. And he's like, all right, man, you can hang out all night, bro. And so then he took me around. So Cannabis runs, they announce him. He runs out and he trips on a step and falls on his face on the way to the stage, bro. And I was like, I was kind of pumped to see Cannabis, bro.
Yeah.
And then I was like, damn, man. It's like seeing Superman.
Like, it makes you think he's human.
And then I walked out and smoked a cigarette. Shapeshifters had a great set, man. Those dudes they rock good shows. Exit Stereo, that dude always shows me love.
Oh, dude. Shout out to the Gibson brothers.
His brother,
too. Bobby, Christian. AWOL's been here. Like, how many Shapeshifters I have here?
I met him, his brother, in Amsterdam.
That's what's up.
Because he was like, yo, my brother's in Amsterdam. And he told, shout out. I'm going to give a little quick shout out.
Yeah, dude.
Can I do this?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Shout out to Ain't Nobody Cool.
Let me see what's up with this. America's Most Wanted Ain't Nobody Cool.
AintNobodyCool.com. Y'all know about it in L.A.
Ain't Nobody Cool. What strain is this of a... What's in here?
It's called America's Most Wanted.
Oh, my God. Look at the packaging, though. That's awesome.
But, I don't know. That's my dude from Chicago, and he moved out here, started a clothing company.
You ever have experiences with circus?
He's He was JJ's tour manager on a European tour. He went on Euro tour with us one time.
What about Circus? You ever run into Circus?
I met him.
Because I'm trying to get him on here.
I talked to him. Me and him are kind of the same way. When we're around a crowd of people, like, I saw him and it was just like, kind of, like, I'll talk to people, but like, I don't want to. Like, certain dumb conversations I can't have with you.
Right, I'm just
going to make you feel uncomfortable. The way you're making me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. So he was a bit odd.
No, he was cool. He was like, it was just more like, all right, head nod.
Yeah.
But the dudes, we went on tour. The first tour I did out here, we were on tour with OMD. Tumex.
Of Mexican descent.
Yeah.
Zola Zanzico and Tumex.
That dude was...
Yeah.
Always
yo, shout out to Alex too.
Shout out to Alex. Yeah. Shout out to Tumex. I don't think he remembers me. We were on tour with him. We did those guys. It was through some like shady guys that were like bootlegging my like first CD out here.
Yeah.
And people were sending me like it had their record label on it.
But it was your album?
And, yeah, it was a CDR I was putting out, like print out Kiko's.
Were they LA dudes?
Yeah, well, they were like West Virginia dudes that lived in LA.
That sucks. Yeah. So shame on you. I want to get into El Foto Grande.
El Foto Grande.
Yeah. So what was the length of time in between Molecules and El Foto Grande?
Well, we did Stick Figures.
Oh, I forgot about
that. Shout out to Prolific.
Yeah, that was a dope album. I forgot about that.
He just had a birthday. Yeah,
great album.
He was one of my like close buds.
Yeah,
and that was
a good album.
He made really good beats. Mm-hmm. And
I forgot about that one.
He's a good writer, man. Mm-hmm. He really hits the heartstrings sometimes.
So it was 2012, maybe, something like that?
Yeah. Well, no, we did that in 2005.
Okay, when was El Foto Grande afterwards?
2006.
Yeah.
So I did that. I was coming out to visit my dad right before he moved out of Cali. My dad used to live out here. And I used to come out.
Give him a shout out, dude.
Shout out to Pops.
Yeah,
how you doing, Paul? Yeah. Or Dad, sorry.
I hope you watch
timestamp.
Yeah, I hope you watch this.
Oh, my dad doesn't watch anything, man.
But El Foto
my dad
Grande,
should have
maybe.
A podcast. That motherfucker's
sure.
We'll
got get him on
stories,
here. We'll get
bro.
We'll get him on here.
Oh man,
yo, you that was ready. That was a dope album too. Shout out to Mike Gow.
Oh, Mike
for
Gow.
Some of the production.
So Mike Gow, yeah, I met him. How we met that guy? I think JJ reeled him in. He was at a show, and he was
Prodigy.
He was a young guy,
mm-hmm.
and JJ would talk to guys that come up to him, and I think he was playing them beats in the car. I heard some of his beats. I was like, they're cool.
Yeah.
I was just used to Chicago, like
Chicago
boom,
style.
Boom, bouncy boom bap, whatever.
Yeah.
But Mike Gow, and then he surprised me. Like he started working with JJ.
Yeah.
But so that night we met him, he was like 16, I think. He was in high school.
Yeah.
And he goes, hey guys, you guys want to go to an after party?
Can I play some of that song that he like?
He's like, do you want to go to an after party? And
this is one of my favorite songs.
Okay, but
I've never done.
I gotta talk about my new album.
Okay. Wait, hold up. We'll do this because I love this song so much. We haven't done this.
Don't
ever
let a cease and desist come at you.
No, this is your stuff. This is your stuff.
Mike might be mad.
Mike, please. Hey, hold up.
I'm just joking.
No, let's give him a message, Mike. We're gonna give you credit. Come on, man. This is an interview. It's a podcast produced by Mike Gow.
All right, here, dude. Let's just let some of this play.
Yo, this goes out to everybody, you know, doing it for the love. I do it for the love that I give and receive. I feed off of it to live with every
you
breath
really
that I breathe.
Song,
and
right
it's
now.
More than just the bread that I eat. The messages and all the lessons that I've been blessed to receive.
Songs?
Leave a trail of crumbs, so let the rest of them see. Even when my days are done and I'm resting in peace, feast off my food for thought. Even when I'm deceased, not trying to preach, but I was born with arms, so I'ma reach. Each time I spit a rhyme, it's like I'm cutting a piece and giving it away. When I drop another release, I got the butter beats. Yo, but what if you sleep? I keep doing it for the love, cause my love is deep. And I keep doing it and 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 doing it. Well,
one verse though, we're cutting it off after one verse.
Okay.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you, man.
That's probably that hits home, bro. I'm just saying that hits home.
I've written some bad songs.
That's a damn good song, dude. That's a shitty fucking trash.
My intern was feeling that. Yeah, that's a good one.
Can I tell you a story behind that? I was over at his apartment when Mike was going to USC. Me, JJ, I had a 40 ounce.
I went there.
Yeah, yeah, I was drinking a 40, and I didn't know you were on the beat. He played the instrumental. I'm like, hey, play that one again. I kept making him play that. And I'm like, hey, who's beat it? I kept asking about that beat. And I heard it later.
You want to get on the remix?
No. It's your song. It's your fucking song, man. But I'm just saying, like.
You could sample it now. No.
I'm just saying, dude. That's a, like, can we, like, what inspired you, like, to write that? Like, did it just call to you? Like, okay,
well,
you heard the beat.
That's because it's like. You're like an artist and you're fucking, you're not getting, you like, I don't care about getting recognition or getting fame or nothing like that.
But a good song is a good song, dude.
That song is like, it's like from that perspective of like, why do you even do this? What is your purpose? Like most people, most musicians, rap, especially in hip hop, it's so self-serving. Come listen to me. I'm gonna tell you how good I am.
Right,
I'm gonna the unveil the wisdom.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah.
Straight up. Like nobody wants to hear your fucking life advice. You got a 99 IQ. You fuck.
But this song's just from your heart.
This is like, what do you do it for? I just do it for me.
Yeah.
I do it for the love.
Right.
I love doing it. I wake up, I don't fucking, like, I can't write raps. I'm not sitting there, like, in the notepad all day long. Yeah. No, I go swimming. I go down water slides. I eat, like, hamburgers.
Yeah.
I enjoy my life.
Yeah.
And then, yo, sometimes you, something hits you in the chest, pop it off.
Right. That's it. Yo, this is a great album, dude.
The whole album is good. Let's talk about the new shit. Yeah. John Bovey.
Okay.
We got the John Bovey. Yeah. I asked him what size shirt he wears. I brought him a present. I'm going to give him this shirt when I leave.
Let's plug it. How can people best support that?
Is it on Bandcamp?
You
can support me when I get enough ambition to start my own Patreon.
No, but where could they listen? Like, how could they best support the album?
You know what? I mean, it's been actually, it's crazy because we put it out a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And me and him, we didn't. Max Julian.
I love the flip. We gotta call in the producer.
He wanted a little quick call in.
Yeah,
can we do that?
Yeah, let's do it. Did he want to promote? Yeah. If he's comfortable with it, he knows we're on a podcast, right?
He knows. No. Okay. He said I'm a bitch if I don't.
Yeah. Because he produced. This is the producer,
Max Julian.
Max Julian.
We used to get locked in the broom closet at the same school district. Because if you got in trouble, they just locked you in a broom closet back in the day.
He produced the whole thing. He produced the whole album.
Yeah, okay.
Put him on call. John Bovey. Yeah,
Let's
John Bovey, baby.
Ass real quick.
Let's do it. I think he'll make his day. I think he'll like it. Yeah.
Let's see if he's ready. I told him I'm.
No, you're good. No. This is from IKEA.
He's not gonna answer because he doesn't answer calls. This would probably be the only time he would.
Where is he at right now? What state?
He's in Chicago.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. He's So anyway, me and him, we met at like a house party back in the day, and my neighbor was best friends with his cousin, so we just linked up, and we were the only guys from
Max Julian
that area that were into hip hop, and so we were like not hip hop, but like into like he knew Mo Man and shit. Yeah. I was like, I got songs with those dudes. He's like, oh shit,
yeah.
So we ended up just meeting up, hanging out. We worked on stuff, and we don't take ourselves too seriously. He's the only guy, like, he sends me beats. I go, those beats suck. And then I'll send him a song. I'll be like, this shit is going to be rock your block off. And he's like, dude, this song sucks. Don't ever say those words on my beat ever again. And this is how we get to the music that
we
actually make.
Right, right.
Because nobody's like, oh, great job, dude.
Yeah.
Fucking no, that's how you make shitty music.
What gave you the idea? Is there a concept behind the album?
Okay, so this right here.
Who's the guy in the...
This right here, I don't know. The concept of the album is just us making songs that are not hard to listen to.
Right.
We don't want people to, you know.
Is there an 80s theme? Because Bon Jovi, no, John Bovey.
Not really. I got the,
the name flip.
The John Bovey comes from, when I was depressed, I used to look up shitty tattoos.
Yeah.
And, and it would just make me feel better, especially on a hangover, you know?
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, oh, write man. That down.
Oh, there's another one, yeah. too.
How many
have you looked up Asian restaurant reviews on Yelp? That shit will rock your fucking world. It's fucked up, bro. It's messed up. But the tattoos makes me feel better.
Yeah.
The Asian restaurants makes me feel worse for humanity.
Yeah,
but okay. The tattoos, there's a tattoo that says, it's IT apostrophe S is my life, in quotes. And then it says John Bovey. And I wanted to make the shirt that.
Dude, that's amazing.
But so then I showed Max that, and he goes, oh, that's the album title. And then the next album is going to be called John Donson.
Dude, that's amazing. Yo, you know, how many
shout out to John Donson.
Don Johnson.
Shout out to Don Johnson.
Yeah, Miami Vice,
baby.
Shout out
to John Donson.
Yeah.
Coming soon.
Yeah. How,
to a theater near
how
you.
Many tracks on John Bovey?
We got 10.
10 tracks. Spotify, Bandcamp.
It's on everything.
So Spotify, they just have to type in John Bovey.
Yeah, and then you're going to find Bon Jovi. It's going to get confusing.
Yeah,
but you know
John
what? This is where
Bovey.
You use your brain. This
it's
is,
John
Hopefully you're above
Bovey.
A 99. And if you're not,
support
you
it. Give it a thumbs up. What about merch or any? How could they support
I got T-shirts.
More?
Check me out. Hit me up on Instagram at Robust Chicago.
Robust Chicago.
At Robust Chicago. Yeah. And you'll see me diving in the lake. Sometimes I do a winter jump or two, but
dude, that's amazing, John Bovey. You got hoodies or hats? Like, what's going on with that? You got more?
Oh, so I Googled a picture of John Bovey impersonators, and that became the album
that's
cover.
Amazing. So that's an impersonator.
It's a John Bovey. Well, I don't know if it is an impersonator, but it came up in a Google search as an impersonator.
That's amazing, dude. I want to get a tattoo of that. That's amazing.
People want to fucking take shit so seriously.
No,
man.
That's funny.
I was laying in a pool before I got here. That's why I took a little bit longer.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
And I was looking up and I thought to myself, holy shit, man. I'm in a pool because my dad banged my mom. And I'm fucking here. And
really,
like straight up. But
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, you know, they got drunk one night and were like, yo.
And let's
and
do it.
What if they got in an argument?
I know. Well, dude,
you'd have
out,
a little more
look
sleep
at, look
tonight.
At, look at all the beautiful music you've put out.
Yeah, I've put out about 19 albums. I got 300 songs I haven't put out.
What? How come
not
you don't
all
put
your
those
songs?
Out?
Because not all your songs are fucking good.
Yeah.
But also, if you don't, you know, I'm sure there's a couple good ones in there. But I just like doing it for me. And I went through some shit with my abuela. She passed away.
Oh, rest in peace.
4 years ago on 4th of July. This year, it'll be 4 years. She passed on the 4th. I closed my eyes on the 1st of July.
Yeah.
When she was kind of going down, and I saw fireworks, bro. I swear to God.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, she's going out.
Were you there when she passed?
Nope. I was going there I was flying out once a week to go see her. And then I fly back to Chicago because I had to work.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going out for like 5 days at a time and then going back. And I knew I should have been there, man. But I don't think she would have. She would have tried to like live. Because I was her favorite. She was my,
right,
me and her were
right,
best friends. She
right.
was my, like, straight up. She tried to have me sneak her out the hospice. She's like, put me on the ground of the car.
Yeah.
Take me back to my house.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'm like, nah, well, they're taking care of you here, you know?
Yes, that's
but,
what's up.
But yeah, she was my best friend, and it rocked me. I got trashed for like 4 years.
Oh, you went through a depression?
3 years. Oh, yeah. I mean, I was doing a lot of fucked up shit. You know, I probably.
Well, you're fine.
I pissed
now.
Off 99% of the people that I would encounter. But, you know, shout out to the 1%ers that showed me love. Usually it's like homeless people, gangbangers, or.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's what's up. I mean, ladies. But you're still I'm just happy to see you're still creating music.
Yeah, man. I'm doing all right.
Yeah, man.
I got a nice place to live now. You know,
Are you still in Chicago?
I'm in Chicago.
Okay. Where is it? What?
You know I'm in Chicago.
Yeah. Where's Quell? Where's everybody else at?
Quell, I think he's in Indiana or something. He's been in Indiana for a while.
How many kids do you have now?
I don't know. He's got a band. All his kids play in his band. He's Joe Jackson. And
dude, I love Quell. Quell, if you watch this,
shout
Quell.
Shout out
yo,
to Quell.
Yo, Quell, please.
One of his kids is the manager of the band, too.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Yo, Quell, please.
I think they did a show out here like
come
a
here,
few
Quell.
Months ago.
All right, I think that, man, let's go get a cheeseburger, huh?
Let's go get a cheeseburger. I want to send a shout-out to everybody.
Go ahead, do your shout-out. Do your shout-outs. Because I have to do some.
First
too,
of all, shout-out to Stevie Weeby. Yeah, dude. Thank you for having me on
come
the
on,
show,
dude.
Man.
Come on.
And shout-out to Galapagos.
Shout-out to Mestizo.
Shout-out to Mestizo. Shout-out to Quell. Shout-out to Max fucking Julian.
Yeah.
Max Julian, the
Max
god.
Max Julian.
Super producer.
Maker. Mediocre.
They just played our album on... The Rap Is Out of Control, DJ Eclipse.
Okay.
Sirius Radio, Shade 4-5. Papa. That's because of Max Julian. I never had nothing on there if it didn't have a Max beat on it. Max is that dude. So shout out to him. And, you know, thanks for listening.
Yeah, man. Robust Chicago Instagram.
At Robust Chicago Instagram. Mm-hmm. I won't make you buy anything. I don't really have a marketing plan.
But still support anything robust. Type them into the searches. Listen to even on YouTube.
Check it out.
Like check it out.
Check it out. And if it's not your thing, no pressure.
Thanks for tuning in for another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. Go to Scissor Bro, YouTube.com/Scissor Bros. Go to StevieWeebyBandcamp.com. Go to StevieWeebyShow.com. Definitely follow him on Instagram. Instagram/QUANGOU. Anyone on Galapagos, you're more than welcome. Family, you're
Galapagos
for Tucasa, Meaty.
Shout out to Meaty. Shout out to Deuce Bagalo.
Dennis and Kane, holler at me too, please. I would love to have Dennis.
Shout
in
out
here.
To Riff Napalm.
Oh, I forgot
about Riffy. Okay. Shout out to Poor.
Yeah, and so yeah, they're all welcome here. This is a perfect platform for y'all.
Get Poor on here. Poor's
I want.
Poor's an amazing producer. He's from Chicago, moved to Maine. We had him and Max had a thing where they would play, one dude would play drums, one dude would play samples,
that's
and
amazing.
I would rap.
Yeah.
And then I would rap through that thing. So yeah, we had a whole set going.
Oh, okay.
But they were playing NPCs live. Poor lives out here. You should get him on.
Well, he's in LA?
Yeah, I think he's roommates with Exile.
Okay. Oh, Exile, Blue and Exile.
The producer.
Yeah.
I think he
so
is.
If you see
know.
If you see this, please holler at me on Instagram. And yeah, holler at me, DM me, please. Yeah, dude, let's get some cheeseburgers.
Let's get a cheeseburger.
Okay. Dude, hey.
My buddy Skip is a trip, feeling blue like a crib. Framed for robbing a bank, letting loose from the hip. He really couldn't predict this grip was so full of angst. Him and Henry were woodpeckers, did a song and dance at bit. Oh, rodeo man in the West, you can. You're the best on the land, you bless the sand. Stir the bull with your hand, oh Skip, you can. Get that fucking bull, pull on that rope. Feeling still crazy, maintaining against the grain. Making me wanna get in a plane. The pain inside my brain never ends, sustained. I'm down for the count on the ground freight train. Living today, don't give it away. The peace and the praise, the raise. Shining it down to mightiest crowns, the finest of thrones delayed. Skippy's afraid, he feels betrayed. Live this way, can deal with shade. A spade is a spade, he made the greatest blade in a charade of pain. I am not a man, I am an animal, a male. I live by maritime, the law of water about to sail. When my mother had me, I slipped out of her canal. What you call a sailing ship is named after.